Bob Burney Live is sponsored in part by Mount Vernon Nazarene University. Local is good. Classes are forming now at a campus nearby, so call 800-839-2355. Online, it's ags.mvnu.edu.
Welcome back. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host this afternoon. My name is Chris Long. I'm the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance. And joining me on the phone is Mike Gonadakis, executive director of the Ohio Right to Life. Mike, welcome to Bob Burney Live.
Thanks, Chris, for having me. How are you?
I'm doing fine, my friend. And, you know, obviously the election didn't go the way that we had hoped to. Obviously, those of us that value life and value our religious liberties and our traditional values, obviously we have some concern as to what the new president might be bringing, the president-elect Barack Obama and his administration. But at the same time, I have a peace. And, you know, it's just the last few days I've just been kind of praying and just sense the real grace of God. And I think there's going to be opportunity for us to really recapture, I think, the issue and the debate on life, and I'm excited about that.
Well, that, you know, that's such a great point, Chris, and you know, I think many, if not all, the men and women in the pro-life movement feel the same as you. The shock of first 24, 48 hours has worn off, and you know, we've refocused, and we're gearing up to face 2009 head on, both at the federal and state level, because in Ohio here, they did not have a good night either. And there's many challenges ahead of us, but ones that with renewed strength and focus we'll meet.
Well, you know, it's often said on the football field that a good offense is a good defense. And so, and it looks like we'll be playing some defense. And that kind of frees you up to do some things. And then when you do go on offense, you can, at your own choosing and at your own time, go on offense. And I think that puts us in a good position and to kind of watch what's going to happen here. And there's still so many unknowns about Barack Obama and what his presidency might bring. Obviously, there was a lot of talk through the campaign, and I want to take point for point with you on that, Mike. But again, just reiterating that something I was very impressed by on Wednesday, the night after the election, I was invited to a Right to Life, local Right to Life meeting. A good friend of yours and mine, Greg Frank, up there in Summit County, heads up the local chapter there. He brought in 40 leaders from around the surrounding counties. And you know, Greg, he's filled with a lot of enthusiasm and fire.
Indeed.
And so the room was packed, and he asked me to come and speak and address the group. You know, the night after, I was exhausted. I wasn't really up for it. But I'll tell you, it's what the doctor ordered. Getting in that room, talking to young people, talking to folks who are passionate about life, both Catholic and evangelical leaders, and talking about, okay, this is what happened. What do we do now? And I'll tell you, some really positive things came out of that meeting. There's going to be Catholic folks that are going to be talking to their priests in the next year or so and engaging with them about education and life issues. There's evangelical folks who are going to start sitting down with their pastor and talking about how do we address the life issue from the podium. Pastor, what is your position? Let me share with you my passion for life. You know, I haven't heard that kind of discussion in over a decade of where folks are saying, you know what, I want to engage with my church leadership and have an open dialogue with them, because I'll tell you, Mike, the pulpits have fallen silent on the life issue, both in the Catholic Church and also in the evangelical churches. And I just think that that's part of the problem here. Why are young people, we look around, we wonder why they're not following. Well, if you don't hear about it, how are you going to embrace it?
Well, you nailed it, Chris, and you know, and kudos to Greg. You know, he's a pro-life leader in Ohio for years in the past and years to come. And you know, if you look at just the Catholic vote in Ohio, if we would have had a 5-8% swing in the Catholic vote just in Ohio, John McCain would have won this state, and a lot of the members of the House would have won this state. But for whatever that reason is, the Catholic vote was not there for the pro-life candidates this time around. to include Kurt Schering in the 16th District. And in this outreach that's taken place up in Summit County and the surrounding collar counties, as well as other parts of the state, is very needed, because we need to sit down with our brothers and sisters and find out where was the disconnect here in 2008, what happened, and learn from that. Because, you know, 2004 wasn't that long ago when the social conservative movement in Ohio not only carried the day on the marriage amendment, but put George Bush back into the White House. And I refuse to believe that in just four years, 04 to 08, things have changed that drastically.
Well, that's a great assessment, Mike. And I think that what Greg is doing and some of the other outreaches that you have through Ohio Right to Life, and what we're doing as well, is reaching out to young people. And we want to launch a youth education program where we're really starting to disciple and mentor young people into the movement. And, you know, we've got some wonderful folks who are seniors, and they've been in the fight for a long time in this culture war. And, you know, it's funny, I had to kind of impose a stop-loss program. You know, a lot of them said, oh, we're getting ready to retire. They're in their 70s, right? I said, you know, the military has a stop-loss program. And I said, you can't do it yet. And they said, okay. And they started, and they did. They distributed the voter guide. They were really engaged because they saw that the last three decades of all that they worked for was slipping away in this election if it went the wrong way. And so they were willing to step up to the plate, but they said, you know, we have to recruit young people. And I think that that's the call out there. One of the things I'd like to talk to you about is that some of the methods that we use, the printed page or even, you know, email is tantamount to snail mail these days. These kids are texting, they're using Facebook, they're using the YouTube, they're using so many other things on the internet that I'm not even aware of. And this is how they instantly communicate with each other. The liberals use that to an art and a science in this campaign. They got their message out, and I think we were almost non-existent at times on the internet. What's your thoughts?
Well, once again, perfect assessment, Chris. You know, the issue that I think the life movement, the pro-family movement, is the fierce battle is going to be getting those hearts and minds of our youth. Now, we have to look at how we define the youth. Are we looking at 14 to 18-year-olds, where I believe, based on the polling I've seen, we have those. Where we're losing them is from the 18 to 19 to about 28, 29-year-old range is where we're losing them. All of the polling that we've done in Ohio shows a strong number of pro-life young guys and gals that identify with us. But when they get to college or they go to the next stage of their lives is when we're losing them. We're getting them back around, back in their mid to late 30s and 40s, but for some reason there's a gap there. And whether it's the YouTube or the Facebook, which we're implementing here at Ohio Right to Life, and MySpace and other techniques, you know, we have to find that medium that they're communicating with, because you're right, Chris, no one's going to read a memo today nowadays, and the email is slowly dying as well, as our inboxes are being filled with everything from, you know, messages of our issues to commercials for various consumer products. So we have to stay on that cutting edge, and if there's anything we want to learn from Senator Obama, is that he used technology to his advantage far greater than any of us or Senator McCain did.
Absolutely. And, you know, in the aftermath of 2004, a lot of liberal press came into Ohio and flooded into Ohio and asked many, what did you do? What was your programs? These kind of things. And a lot of folks just opened up almost the playbook, told them what they did. And little did they know that they were going to take that playbook and they were going to start using it and actually advance it. They did things that really captured young people that just caught us flat-footed. And I honestly, you know, and I was talking earlier in the program, Mike, this is no time for conservatives to point fingers and kind of beat up on each other. And I'm sad to see that some of that's happening. I don't want to get real specific, but I think that what we need to do is kind of reassess. You know, if the team's losing, you pull together as a team. A good coach is the one who rallies the troops again. You may have had a losing season. I think it was Bill Walsh when he first came to the San Francisco 49ers. He said he was riding home on the plane after a terrible loss. They were 3-13. But he said, I saw development in the team, that we were heading in the right direction overall. And, of course, the next year they ran the table and went into the Super Bowl, and then they had all those Super Bowls they won. So sometimes you have to see, where are we doing it right, and where do we need to improve and do it another way? And I think that's where we're at in the conservative movement.
Yeah, you know, and I once again agree with you, Chris. I think you're raising great points. The polling that I saw this morning was, you know, the prediction of this new wave of numbers of young people voting just wasn't there, though. It's the polling suggests 18% of youth, and I'm not sure how they define that exactly, voted, whereas 17% of the youth voted in 2004. But the problem was it was 65% of those of that group voted for Barack Obama. So we need to find out where we're losing that 16 to 17%. That are voting in the youth group. In today's Columbus Dispatch, we saw an article where the voter turnout was actually higher in 2004 than it was this time. It's just our people either chose not to come out or they chose to vote for Obama, obviously, and we need to get back and find out why that happened exactly. But by all means, the same old tire playbook has to be thrown away, and we have to realize that in order to advance our cause, whether it's through legislation or the ballot box or whatever, we have to look at innovative tools and techniques to get the job done.
Absolutely, and I think that's where your group and our groups are going to start working together and really in tandem, and I think that helps as well. And there has been good cooperation this last go around. We need to, so some of the things, there were some improvement, even though we didn't come out with the results that we wanted. I think it's that old adage that, hey, we're heading in the right direction. Let's build on what we're doing right, and let's correct what, you know, what needs to be corrected and change what needs to be changed. Our core mission, our values do not change. You know, God cares about abortion as much as he did on Monday. He did on Tuesday and Wednesday. It does not change. You know, the scriptures declare Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. And the value of life does not change. And so those who think that, well, we're just going to take on a whole new value system, I don't think the country was voting against a value system. I think they were voting on economics. The immediate threat was the financial crisis. I think that's where the swing voter went. I think that was indicated in exit polls. With me on the phone is Mike Gonadakis, Executive Director of Ohio Right to Life. We're going to be back and with your calls right after these messages. Don't go away.
Bob wants to come to your church. Find out how to host a CrossPower weekend at crosspower.net. Get an edge on your finances with Jim Legg and the Investor's Edge. Saturday mornings at 9 on The Word, 880 WRFD.
We're back. You're listening to Bob Burney Live. I'm your guest host today, Chris Long. And with me on the phone is Mike Gonadakis, Executive Director of Ohio Right to Life. Mike, welcome back to Bob Burney Live.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Those of you that would like to join us on the phones, you could do so by phoning 877-262-5483. Mike, I want to take a moment to talk about some of the setbacks that we had on Tuesday. We have to talk about that in the sense that the Colorado and South Dakota measures that were on the ballot. Tell us what happened there with these were restrictions on abortion, both of which were defeated.
They were, sadly, and you know, Christopher, there's a lot of Monday morning quarterbacking going on right now as to what the language should have or should not have said in these ballot initiatives or if there's a better strategy. But, you know, frankly, at the end of the day, they weren't soundly defeated. They were both close races, but however, they were defeated. On the positive side, though, we did have three marriage amendments passing in the liberal state of California, Arizona, and Florida.
Yes.
All of which demonstrates that when it comes to social issues, Americans have stayed center-right. And social conservatism still has a broad appeal.
Well, I'm looking at this Associated Press article, and the Colorado measure and the South Dakota measure, let's see, the South Dakota measure would have banned abortions except in the cases of rape, incest, and serious health threat to the mother. It was a tougher version of that was in 2006, and so the pro-life activists, it says, thought that the new modifications would win approval, but it was defeated by the same margins of 55% to 45%. I think what you can read into that is that there was that many pro-lifers and that many abortion-favoring people that's where the margins came down, and for whatever reason they weren't able to come over, make it over the hump. What do you think?
Well, I think that's partially true. I think there's probably about a good 4 to 5% based on the folks I talked to in those respective states that voted not for the life movement just because they believed it would have been thrown out by the courts anyways. It would have been challenged, and a liberal judge at the federal court would have thrown it out. So without a clear path to knowing that a measure will succeed a court challenge, I think that mushy middle of 4 to 5% just decided to either not vote for it or vote against it.
Well, and here's another approach. Speaking about that, the first of its kind measure in Colorado would have defined life as beginning at conception. It was defeated soundly, its opponents said. Now, you would think that the recognition of life at conception would be favored by most folks. But its opponents were effective in saying that it would also outlaw most types of birth control as well as abortion. I can see that if they were successful in their campaign commercials, then that's why that was defeated. What's your thoughts there? What are you hearing?
Yeah, and once again, Chris, I think you pinpointed it very well. Your political acumen is very, very knowledgeable. I can tell you from the people I spoke with, and I wasn't involved directly with the campaigns, but the messaging to vote against that measure was very, very effective. And I think your example just pretty much nailed it.
One of the other things, in fact, my daughter brought this to my attention. She and her husband are in Washington State as he's serving in the military, and he is stationed at Fort Lewis. She said, did you know that in the ballot here in Washington State was an assisted suicide measure which passed? So
yeah.
Washington now follows the state of Oregon in the Great Northwest is approving of assisted suicide. That's really a setback.
It is. It's tragic now knowing that Oregon is right there. That's done it before. I think there's, you know, you have a different value system there, and not judging any man or woman or their hearts, but it's just a different environment than you would find here in the Midwest, which surely neither of those measures would ever have passed in Ohio or any of the states surrounding Ohio in the Midwest. But, you know, for whatever reason, it did in Washington, and it really is a sad day for our country.
It is. And, you know, that part of the country does not have the roots of the spiritual churches and legacy of denominations that there is in the Midwest and Eastern Seaboard. In fact, there are very few churches in Washington State. I've asked my daughter about it. She said it's hard to find a church out here, Dad, that preaches the gospel that we want to attend. And then churches are sparse in the Northwest. And I think that's an area of the country that really needs a revival.
No question, Chris. And, you know, I've never lived in that part of the country, but I can tell you your assessment, your daughter's assessment is absolutely correct. And, you know, we always say in our house, if just other parts of the country had the good old Midwestern values that we have here, we'd be much better off. But, you know, the irony is, Chris, you know, since the past 48 hours, the liberal media has really attacked our movement, both state and nationally. And the irony is that 94% of African Americans in California voted for Mr. Obama, but 70% of that group also voted for the ban on same-sex marriage.
Absolutely.
California.
Absolutely.
So, I tell your listeners, and I know there's many and far and wide, that to keep the faith and hold true that it was a year that was based on the economy, and I'm not sure whether it had been John McCain or anyone else, Mike Huckabee, if they could have got across the finish line this year. Remember, it took 4 years of Jimmy Carter to get 8 years of Ronald Reagan, so we survived then, and I was just a little kid then, but well, my parents tell me all about it. We will live another day. And keep in mind, here in Ohio, Chris, in less than 2 years, or a little bit more than 2 years now, we're going to have major elections in Ohio for the governor, the Secretary of State, and those elections are going to determine how we draw the legislative districts for both the Congress and the state here in Ohio. Whoever wins in 2010 is going to have a pen in their hand for the apportionment board, and that's going to set the tone for the next 10 years. So, indeed, this past Tuesday was one of the most important days in our lives, but you know, there's really no rest for us because we've got to gear up for 2010.
Well, that's exactly right. And one of the things I want to point out here, what happened here in Ohio was in the Ohio's first district, Steve Chabot lost his race, Congressman Steve Chabot. And many might not know that it was Congressman Chabot that introduced the partial birth abortion ban legislation that eventually became law, which President Bush signed into law. And it was our own Congressman Steve Chabot who lost, unfortunately, on Monday. So there was a great pro-life advocate that was taken out. So
it was absolutely a devastating blow to the pro-life, pro-family movement to lose Congressman Chabot. On the positive side, I just got word a few minutes ago that Bill Batchelder, indeed, is going to be the minority leader of the Ohio House of Representatives. Matt Dolan has officially dropped out.
So he conceded and and gave way for Bill Batchelder. And that's great, I think, because Bill is such an intelligent man. He has much experience after his many years in the legislature, being a judge, and, of course, being part of leadership. Mike, hang on the phone with us. We've got a couple of calls I want you to answer. These folks, as they're calling in, with us on the phone is Mike Ganadakis from the Ohio Right to Life. We'll be right back after these messages. Don't go away.
Listen. Think. Discern. Saturday Talk with a Sunday Perspective. Langford Live with Will Langford. Saturday afternoons at 1 on The Word, 880 WRFD.
We're back with Mike Ganadakis from Ohio Right to Life, and we're taking calls today. Mike, welcome back to Bob Bernie Live.
Thanks, Chris. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're going to take some calls here. Jason is on line one. Jason, your thoughts about Tuesday's election and the aftermath.
Well, it just was a question on another way of reaching people that get pregnant or will have an unwanted pregnancy. Is there any money going towards Christian scientists and research and development to make it easier for a woman who's had sex out of wedlock, she gets pregnant, she doesn't want the baby, but like Christians in the first century, I heard about, they used to, you know, Romans used to throw babies unwanted out on the garbage heap, and Christians would go and take those babies and raise them up. And in our technological age, can Christians, or maybe not even Christians, people who love life, do we have money going to research and development to make a morning after pill where we just go around and collect, you know, whatever comes out or whatever, but like a safe, a life pill, and we collect them, take the baby to the lab and grow. I don't mean to be heartless. My wife's like, no, it needs to be in a womb, but I don't know, some sort of transplant into someone's womb, or I'd rather be growing a plant, growing a lab, and then give that baby to a couple who's been wanting to have children, been praying to have children, and then be destroyed. Is there anything, any monies or any technology research? Because, I mean, what an age we live in.
Well, and Jason, I think I understand your question. Mike, he got a little off the track there, but I think as science advances, there's going to be opportunity for us to use that science that tells us even more about the child in the womb. I mean, the film Silent Scream, which is really somewhat dated now with the first ultrasounds and all, showing that instead of a blob of tissue and, you know, the generality of the pregnancy, here was a real-life human and experiencing, being able to feel, sense, and even experience pain in the womb. That was a great development. What do you see down the road as advancements that might help us with the pro-life message?
Chris, to build upon your point, you know, even the pro-abortionists, Planned Parenthood, and NARAL, they agree. They've lost the argument on if is it a baby or a blob of tissues. I mean, with the advancement in technology with the 4D ultrasounds, I mean, we've won that one. It's a baby. And what they've done is they've moved on, and now their main talking points are health care and privacy. They don't even go on to a woman's right to choose anymore. Now their issues are health care and privacy, and we'll tackle those. But regarding science, you know, Chris, it's a double-edged sword because we want to see advancements in technology for the betterment of mankind, and there's been wonderful cures from the advancement of science, but we also need to be careful and watch it closely.
Absolutely.
You and I have spent many long days and nights at the State House regarding human cloning.
That's right.
To say specifically to Jason's specific question, if there's funding available or if it's going on regarding his specific fact pattern, I don't know the answer to that, Jason. I apologize. There's a lot of funding going on a lot of different ways, some positive, some negative, but I would tend to say that there's probably not.
Mike, we're going to be rapid fire here so we can get everybody in. Here's Beth in Columbus who has a question on the Freedom of Choice Act. Beth, welcome to Bob Bernie Live.
Yes, first of all, I wanted to thank you for your encouragement because I'm not quite where you guys are yet. I'm still pretty bummed and having a hard time looking at my friends, especially my black friends that are Christians. I just don't get it. But I know the ACLJ is going to try their best. It's already getting, you know, worked up the Freedom of Choice Act, so I wondered what you were doing and
Well, that's a great question, Beth. Mike, what of the Freedom of Choice Act? Inform our listeners exactly what that is and what the intentions of this new Congress might be.
Well, the Freedom of Choice Act, formerly known as, or commonly known as FOCA, you know, it's basically the most radical left-wing piece of legislation regarding the life movement. It'll basically strip each and every law, in not in just Ohio or ever, all 50 states, and any federal restrictions on abortion, and pretty much make it a wild west for abortions throughout the country. Everything that we've worked so hard for in this state would be gone instantly with the signing by Barack Obama. Now, I can tell you from a historical perspective, when Bill Clinton won the White House in 92, he had a Democrat speaker and a Democrat Senate president at the time, and there was rumblings that a version of FOCA at the time was going to go through, and it didn't. So, and it was because of the hard work of the men and women in states like Ohio. And what we're going to have to do is just be extremely vigilant and diligent and work overtime, not just with our friends in Congress, but also those that are maybe in the mushy middle or don't have opinion or even are just pro-abortion. Because once our voice is heard, the pause button will be hit, because Barack Obama and this Congress has way bigger issues in their perspective regarding the economy and national security. And this issue alone will tie them up, because a vast majority of Americans, I don't care what any of the pro-aborts say, are against FOCA.
Well, and I think, Beth, thank you for that question on the Freedom of Choice Act. Indeed, what we're going to all have is Congress on our speed dial. And we're going to have to email and speed dial on your phone, because on the ready, as Ohio Right to Life, Ohio Christian Alliance, other faith and value groups in Ohio, we will be keeping you posted on legislation and bad legislation, and, of course, how you can weigh in. Now, real quick, Mike, there are some Blue Dog Democrats that were elected, and that's how they got elected. They basically were pro-life, they were pro-family, they might have been Second Amendment advocates, and they ran in conservative districts, and they got just enough votes to get elected. What might they be facing pressure from Nancy Pelosi, who is a left-wing California liberal, when she wants to push this radical agenda?
Great question, Chris, and this gets down to our strategy. I had a conversation today with Democrats for Life leadership and explained to them that John Boccheri, why he did not get Ohio Right to Life's endorsement, he does proclaim to be pro-life, and how we're going to have them interject and us interject on this issue, and really explain to him that you know, his choice is going to be following radical Nancy Pelosi, or he's going to have to face his electorate in 2 years. These guys got to run every 2 years in Congress, and we have long memories. And Steve Driehaus, even though he beat our champion, Steve Shabbat, he still proclaims to be pro-life. So we need to hold these guys' feet to the fire, and we need to have to get creative on some of this. But indeed, we're going to have to see some profiles and courage here, Chris.
Well, that's exactly right. And I'm going to take opportunity to get to Washington and meet with all the Ohio delegation that will meet with us. We'll bring in, obviously, our interests and our issues of what we're concerned about. Your organization has done a lot over the years, in the last several decades, to advance the life cause in Ohio. We have a lot of good legislation on the books here. If the Freedom of Choice Act is passed, there is discussion among some in the legal community that could be the rescinding a lot of these laws and advancements we've made.
No question, and I think you can count on it, Chris. Everything of every advancement that you and your members and Christians across this country have worked so hard on will be just wiped out with one stroke of the pen, and we're going to work diligently to make sure that doesn't happen.
Mike, thanks so much for being my guest this afternoon. Give us the website for Ohio Right to Life.
www.ohiolife.org. And Chris, if I may just say, God bless you and your efforts. Ohio Christian Alliance and the work they do and did this election cycle really helped us stop the bleeding. And we're just very blessed to have you as a leader in Ohio.
Thank you, Mike. You're a great friend, and I look forward to working with you at the State House, defending the unborn and standing up for religious liberties and our traditional values. Thank you, my friend.
You're welcome.
When we come back after this break, the folks from the Heritage Foundation will be joining us. Those of you on the phone line, still stay on. We're going to kind of continue this discussion as we're going to talk about the legislative prospects for conservatives in the next session of Congress. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
The Word, 880 WRFD.